You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it, and
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
All right, I got some bad news for that kid. If you're not a fan of the mumble rapping, you've tuned into the wrong show, folks. Hey, good afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike continues to be on vacation. Sal Capaccio is going to be joining me live from the stadium, site of tonight's Return of the Red and Blue. Or is it the Blue and Red? I never keep it straight. Anyway, there's a practice at 5 o'clock, and so we will spend some time talking about the stadium today for sure. I think that's where we absolutely should start. There's big news in the NFL within the last 24 hours or so. Terry McLaurin, great Commanders. I didn't do that on purpose like people thought Aaron Rodgers might have. It was just an old habit. Demanded a trade yesterday, and today we've got Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys, elite edge rusher. So there's NFL news, and I don't know, one or both of those players, I think there are arguments to be made that the Bills should be trying to get in the mix if they can. I doubt it's realistic salary cap wise, but I'm sure fans' minds are racing with the news of those two players looking to get out of their current situations. But I think the stadium is where I want to start today, Sal, because you're there, and I know like you're there way more regularly than I am. But on a day like today, Mike and I have done our show on this day at the stadium in years past. Like pre-COVID, we would be out there for this practice. And it always resonated with me how, like for me personally and professionally, it meant a lot to me the first time you go back to the stadium for work, how lucky we all are to go to the stadium for work. And that gets me almost emotional thinking about the team and just this life that I've been able to live here doing this. And so I don't know if you're like-minded because you're there way more often for work than I am. So maybe it's not as special, but the stadium and the first event in the final season of the stadium feels, I don't know, bigger than just an open practice to me.
For sure. First of all, good afternoon to you. Good to
hi.
Talk to you. Good to be
yeah,
here with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I know. I rushed right in.
No, that's all right. You had a lot of news there, but I'm reading here. I wanted to make sure it looked good, and I'm on the YouTube stream, and I'm reading in the bullpen, and I'm looking as the making sure the lighting is good and everything here inside the radio booth. I'm actually, you know where I am right now? I want everybody to know. I am in the national radio broadcast booth.
Okay.
So like when Ross Tucker comes in and they do the games. And then next to me is the local radio booth. And then in front of me is the field. And if you just give me a moment for our viewers on YouTube and Twitch and wherever else, I'm going to show everybody here what the field looks like today because I think it's part of the story, right? So this is where I am. And then I'm going to wheel you around here. This is the This is Greg Harvey and Todd Brody. Say hi, guys. There you go. See, they're saying hi. Right, those are our engineers.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Todd. Happy birthday, right, Todd.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Happy birthday. That's our local. By the way, that's Todd there. He's our big voice guy. If you ever hear a lot of commercials on WGR, that's the guy who does the voice right there. So there you go.
And he's going into the Buffalo Broadcasting Hall of Fame this year. So congratulations to him. And I think I'm a day late on the birthday, but good for you, Todd.
Man. Yeah. All right. And then I'm going to lean over here, and here's the field. Can you see it? There you go.
All right, I have a little bit of a lag, so I'm still looking at Todd and Greg. But now I see the field. Yeah.
There you go. And then you can see the field, and it looks beautiful. It's sunny. And you're right, Bulldog. When I take a look at this and I say, this is where I get to watch games from at stadiums. And then I'm on the field, obviously. But pregame, I do pregame. And I get to sit here, and I've been here many times and be a part of this. It's pretty special. It's amazing. And you're right. It brings back a lot of memories when you think about all the times you've been here. I try to go through the many years that I've been here for this stadium for this particular night, and all the return. It is the blue and the red officially, but I agree with you.
Thank you.
Red and blue, and I think it's changed over the years. And I know that it's a great chance for me. What I always think about on a night like tonight is all the young kids who come to this stadium, maybe for the first time ever, or maybe for the only time that year, right?
Right.
Until maybe they get older. A lot of parents that we've talked to, you may have been one of them, but parents that we talk to all the time say, I just don't want to bring my kids to a game. They're too young. The crowd, everything that goes along with it. I totally get all of that. So I think that this is a chance for those people, those kids, those families, a night like tonight, to see Josh Allen, to come out here. And it's pretty special, right? It's really, really special. And the guys really take to it. They interact really well with the fans. And then today is even more special because on the way in, you see this incredible stadium going in across the street.
Have you had a chance to drive the 219 from like out in like Concord or Colden? Like if you get on the 219 from that area, like say at Rice Road, right, which is, you know, pretty far out. But I've been out there. I got a good friend that lives off that exit, and I played golf last Saturday out in Concord in a scramble that I was invited to, which I had a great time with the folks there. And when you there's like just after the Rice Road entrance, right, if you're getting on heading back towards the city, you're up real high, and there's a perch there where you can see the new stadium from out there. And I mean, it just looks, the first time I saw it was about a month ago, maybe it was after the 4th of July. I think we were out there at my friend's house, spent the night, and then drove back the next morning. And it just, it's incredible. Like I've never, the stadium you're in right now is so low into the ground that you can't even see it from out there. But this thing, it looks like some sort of spaceship sitting out there. It's incredible. Did Sal disappear? Did I just lose? Where did Sal go? Sal got disconnected. If you get a chance to take that ride, I'm not saying take the ride just to do this, but you'll notice it right away. Do we got your back now? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry about that. Some connection issues up here. It's preseason for everybody, right? We're
working through some things.
Tonight, we're actually doing a mock broadcast tonight. So I'll be on the field pretending to call a game with Chris Brown up in the booth. You won't hear it on the radio, everybody, because we have to practice what we do and to make sure that we're good for next week and the first preseason game. I have taken that ride, and I noticed it. And this was probably in the winter at some point.
Oh, okay.
In fact, when it was in the winter, the leaves aren't on the trees yet. So you can see even more because it just pops out right there because you have so much of a clearer view of it. And I have done that, and it's absolutely incredible. And when you really get closer to it and you realize how high it comes above the ground because of what you said, this current stadium goes down into the ground. What, 80 feet I think it is or something like that? Goes down into the ground at least. And, you only see, when you're at ground level, you see the top. You see the lights and the third deck. When you look across the street, you see the entire stadium.
Right.
It's so different compared to this one.
Yeah, it really is. It's just it's a massive looking structure for sure. So the stadium, Sal, like I love how you laid that out about the kids, small kids, families that might be reluctant to bring little kids to a game. It's one of the reasons the Kids Day game has always been so popular for a preseason game. I think of it like this. Like I think, you know, we're close enough in age. Do you remember the Sabres open practices they would have during Christmas? Christmas time. Like, you know, I used to go to maybe one game a year when I was a kid, if that. But we always went to the open practice. It was free, and, you know, it was an opportunity to get in the building. And I feel the same way about the football stadium. Like, I think there are probably big Bills fans out there that either don't – it's not convenient life-wise because of the age of their kids, or what, or it's just a financial thing that they can't afford the tickets, that have an opportunity to come there. Like, I felt like I wanted to at least spend some time talking about the stadium today, because I think there could – there should be. I'd be surprised if there's not some people in our audience who are going there for the last time today, even just because it's so convenient and inexpensive, as opposed to, you know, needing to get tickets to go to a regular season game. So the stadium was definitely on my mind, and I kind of I miss that feeling that I just described to you at the outset of this conversation of pulling in there on a day like this. You know, still the season is a little ways off on the horizon, but you start to feel it a little bit, and it's just I'm at the place where the magic happens. And that's absolutely true of this current team right now. I think a lot of fans feel that way. It certainly was the case with the teams in the 90s, you know, and in between, you know, yeah, maybe not so great all the time, but still, you know, the stadium has been around since 1973, and it's going away. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I like the opportunity to just sort of spend some time pondering, you know, what it's meant to people and what it's meant to you. And, you know, it's a little clumsy, I think, on a radio show to try to, like, stack up the best events or the best moments that have taken place in the stadium. But I do just like thinking about it, which, you know, I need to turn those thoughts into words here because we are on the radio. But I just think it's a time to sort of reflect on the stadium.
Yeah, by the way, this stadium broke ground exact on my birthday, 1 year before that. It was April 4th of 72. And in 1973, I was born, and that was the first year this stadium opened. So I've lived my life in the same capacity as this stadium, which is kind of weird to me, right? That the first stadium, the first year they started playing games here, which is pretty incredible for me to think about because of how old it is. Because I have now been in all but three current NFL stadiums. And the reason why I wasn't in those three is because of COVID. Las Vegas, San Francisco, which where the Super Bowl is this year, and Arizona. So hopefully we'll knock San Francisco off this year. One of my favorite parts about my job, obviously, you know, being in these stadiums, but that ride into a stadium every week when we somewhere. It is one of my favorite parts of my job. When I'm on the bus going into the stadium, as you're describing, coming up and you see it, right, where the magic happens. Now, maybe it's because of Tom Cruise and All the Right Moves. Remember when they're driving in and they're on the school bus, right? And, like, you get that feeling and you see the stadium off in the hills and they're getting ready for that Friday night game, right? Like, that's the feeling you get. And when you're a competitor, when you've played football and you know what Friday nights are about and Saturday afternoons and Sunday afternoons and Monday nights now, I mean, you see those lights and it becomes just something in you that it just starts percolating a little bit. So when we go to these other stadiums, we go to these cities, and I'm part of the Bills radio broadcast. I get on the bus, leave the hotel, and we head to Miami. We head to the Jets. We head to Foxborough. It could be Houston, wherever it is. And all of a sudden, the first time you are on the bus and you look over and you see that stadium, it starts to really build up inside you. And over the years, that's been a different experience at all these different places. And here, it's been so routine for so many years to come here to be a part of this, and especially now as my 12th year of being on the sidelines. And then now to come down that road and to see that stadium and just to think about what it's going to be to go into the new stadium like that in that same capacity, it just hits you a little bit different, right? Because this is the, well, it's not the oldest stadium in the league, but it's certainly one of the oldest that, you know, I know that like Soldier Field, I've been in that one. What's a little bit Arrowhead and this, I think are the same age maybe, or a year or two apart, I believe. So you have a few of these older stadiums, but most of them around the league, Bulldog,
are new,
very, very new, relatively new, really over the last 25 years, which is half the lifespan of this stadium.
Yeah. I mean, the league has, you know, critics of the league would say like they're in the stadium building business is like a sidelight business for the NFL with all these stadiums that have been popping up. Boy, yeah. The first time you see the stadium, Sal, like being on vacations as a kid, riding in a paneled station wagon, yes. Right? Cincinnati comes to mind, right? Yeah, you just see the edifice. You're like, wow, look at that! You know, I was lucky enough as a little kid to go to some big Reds games in Cincinnati. It was like halfway, like really the first day's drive out of Buffalo. Cincinnati would be a stopping point, and we would, you know, my family. I don't know how crazy about it my two sisters were, but we'd go see the Reds play. We did that a couple of different times, but like Atlanta would be the same kind of deal. Philadelphia, like any city with a ballpark or a stadium that you were driving by, like I always end up, it's bad now that I'm driving because I can't stop looking at the stadium. I don't know what it is. Yep. They're very appealing to me. It just sort of trips that wire from being a little kid and being like, oh, the stadium, look at the stadium. It's so cool. I can't wait to go to the stadium.
Also, you played sports, your kids played sports, your son played at a very high level, all these different places they played in. You try to think of the people that have played there, what their lives are like, what it's like for them playing in these stadiums. We were in Lake Como, Italy on this last trip that I went on. And I'm looking at a map, so because we're going to do a walking tour, just me and Yana and Max. And I said, oh, like literally, like just a few hundred yards over there is a soccer stadium. Let's go that way. And we went, and they had a municipal soccer stadium. It looked like a small college soccer stadium. It was just super cool. And it's located right there in Lake Como. So then we start going down the rabbit hole. Who plays there? And then there's this little shop. You have to go in the store, right?
Yep. You're
at the stadium. You got to go in the store and look at the merch and what their logos are and all that. Mm-hmm. So no doubt about it. I think stadiums, just stadiums in general, whether you're talking about a 60-plus thousand or even 80,000-seat stadium, this one used to be, or you're talking about a, I don't know, 30,000 seat stadium, or even, you know, 20 something, whatever it is, smaller ones, 16,000 for the, you know, over at the downtown. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Stadiums can be a very, very distinct part of the fabric and culture of any area, whether that's downtown or somewhere else. And it also gives, I think, purpose and meaning to a lot of places where these stadiums are. Orchard Park, New York, is pretty much on the map nationally because the Buffalo Bills play here, right? I mean, yes, Orchard Park's a beautiful town.
Sure,
and all that,
but it would just be another suburban village. Like here, yeah, right. Yeah.
100% Orchard Park. When you think about, I only know college city names sometimes because right. of where the stadium is for that college, right? And I remember like when Rutgers won a big game and the announcer goes, it was a Pandemonium Piscataway or something. I'm like, oh, that's where they play, Piscataway. Now I always know that in right, New Jersey.
Right.
All right, Tuscaloosa, it doesn't matter. And, you know, you go to all these different cities, and whether it's downtown or somewhere else, Foxborough. Who would know Foxborough, Massachusetts, except for the stadium? It becomes a life of its own to have a stadium there.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got to see that stadium, that soccer stadium in Italy. When we were in Spain last summer, we spent some time in Barcelona, and my wife and I took a tour on a bus, maybe the last day that we were there, as it turned out. We were there on the front end of the trip and then back there again after spending time elsewhere in the country for more than a week. And the Camp Nou was under massive construction. Like they've been doing a reconstruction. They've been playing there, I don't think, for two seasons maybe. But they're just getting ready to reopen it. But last summer, it was all just cranes, and like you couldn't even really – you just couldn't even get close enough to it to feel it at all, which kind of was a bummer for me. But anyway, have you spent any time yet thinking about, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of pieces from us here at WGR and like all the media that cover the Bills, like ranking the events, ranking games, ranking moments. These are all different things, right? There can be a great moment within a game that isn't like the best game that's ever happened in the stadium. Naheem Hines, for instance, returning the kickoff against the Patriots after the DeMar Hamlin near tragedy was an incredible moment. I would not say it's the greatest game ever, but it's up there for a moment that, I mean, I've never seen players and coaches on the sideline near or actually in tears before after an opening kickoff of a game. But that was really emotional. But as far as like the games go, you know, have you thought at all about stacking them up yet, or is that still waiting for later?
I haven't. And sometimes I think about it and say, maybe I should have done that already. Maybe it's, you know, oh my gosh, I haven't been on this and I'm getting to the point where it's just going to go by me and I never really took time to digest it all, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to be in the moment and you want to think about it. But I think because of shows like this, because of topics like this, because of people talking, you know, to you about it, I'm part of the, I was interviewed extensively for that stadium series that WKBW is doing with Matt Bovee. Yep. It's amazing. It's really great. And I have a lot of memories that I went back and thought of to share myself being here at the stadium from being a child. My first game was 87, the strike season, the end of the year, New England. Bills lost that game. Sean McNaney, that game, the fumble recovery. That was my first game ever here, but that morphs into me being here for 51-3 against the Raiders, yeah, in the AFC Championship game.
I was at that Patriots game, too.
Oh,
it wasn't my first game. I'm a little bit older than you, but I was at that game. I didn't go to a lot of games, Sal. I worked on Sundays, the pizza business, right? So, but still, I was at that game in '87. I don't want to give away too much, but I participated in something for a local sports reporter. I think the piece will be coming out at some point, but I've gone through and sort of, you know, picked out games that I thought needed to be highlighted. So I have been thinking about it, and okay, I'll just quickly say, like, to me, the debate, I think, will often come down to two games. If you're talking about the most memorable, best, however you, mm-hmm, want to phrase it, games in the stadium's history, I think we're in for like a duel at noon at the flagpole between, mm-hmm, 51-3 and the greatest comeback game. Like, I think those two games,
no doubt,
are the two best contenders for what's the best time you had and the best game in the stadium. And the funny thing about it is, I think it's sort of a referendum on what it is you like about it, and it's how you're wired, right? One game, mm-hmm, is an absolute curb stomping to the point where the second half is just a party. And there's no denying that that's incredible and it's fun and so meaningful to go to the first Super Bowl in the team's history. Like, there's a lot of meaning behind that. And then the comeback game is an incredible sporting event, right? Like, people that aren't even Bills fans would tell you that it's one of the greatest games they've ever watched, probably because of just what it was, that incredible comeback and all that represented. So even though the stake wasn't as big, I feel like for me, when I had to turn in my list to this reporter I'm referring to, I don't know how it'll turn out, because I think he's polling a lot of people in the area that work in media about this. I voted, like, my top game is the comeback game, because as a sporting event, I think it's just almost transcendent. Whereas 51-3, as a fan, like, I wasn't in the stadium that day. You were, so maybe we will feel differently about this. But I was watching that game. It was unseasonably warm where I was living in New Haven, Connecticut at the time. At 41-3 at halftime, we went to the park and played basketball and came back the fourth quarter, because we were just like, it's 41-3. Let's just go. We're all fired up, so much energy. Let's just go do something. So we went and we were gone for, you know, 45 minutes. We missed most of the third quarter, and it didn't matter, you know? And, like, I don't know, I have a hard time feeling like that's the best game in the history of the stadium if you didn't need to watch the second half, you know?
See, I disagree with you. I think it is the best game ever. Yeah. I was there.
I love it.
And the reason for me is exactly what you said. It was a party in the second half. When you were with in a communal event of everyone for an hour plus of knowing this team is going to the Super Bowl, there's nothing anyone can do about it. We can all enjoy it together inside this stadium. That's what made it special. That's why that game was great. I've shared this before, and I'll say it again. There were three chants I remember that went up in this game. Thank you, Bills. Thank you, Bills. And then it was Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And then, believe it or not, thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Ralph. Wow. And I say believe it or not because, Bulldog, you know that that was not the case leading up to that for several years, right? Like, Ralph Wilson was vilified for not spending money on the team. And the party in the second half of that game, knowing you're going to the Super Bowl and the eyes of the nation were on you. Remember, we're in the Gulf War and everything's going on right there. And it was just such in the feelings you got knowing that, that's why it's the best game. I'm getting chills thinking about it. I sat in the first row of the upper deck right across from where I'm sitting right now looking at that. And to me, that is the number one game, number one moment in this stadium. Now, I was actually not at the comeback game. One of the only people in Western New York who wasn't, by the way, at the comeback game. Right. One of the only two playoff games that entire run I did not go to. And I'll always contend, it was a great moment, of course, everything, but it was a terrible game for a half plus, just like the comeback, because the Bills were getting killed, and it was terrible, right? And you were like, I want to get out of here. I'm sure people were like that. But the moment there, I would say, though, if you're of a certain age, you wouldn't know either of these games,
right?
And maybe you would choose the Patriots perfect game to be here because of what the Patriots represented to the Bills at the time. Or if you're even older, and I don't remember this, I was 7, maybe the Dolphins in 80 in the goalpost coming down would be that game. Because I do think those two games can be regarded as maybe the best game for somebody who was there for those two reasons.
Yep. Those games are both on the list. I think I was asked to rank 1 through 25 or something. So they make the cut. I wouldn't put them at the top, but yeah, you're right. Age, of course, matters because your experiences are, you know, like I'm not here to tell you about how great, like, you know, any of the AFL games were because I didn't live through them, you know, so I don't have it. And I don't think my dad was interviewed for this story that I'm talking about being a part of. So anyway, all right, we're up against a break here. You sit tight. We've got our buddy Sam Panionovich from Bet Sweats coming up at 3:30. We'll talk about some NFL futures. I want to get into some college football with Sam as well. I'm curious to see what we get from Sam because I did receive a picture of him in a golf cart with what looked like an alcoholic drink a while ago. So I don't know what kind of shape we're going to find our buddy Sammy P in. He's a pro. I'm sure he'll be ready to roll. Anyway, we've got that coming up next. I'll talk to Aaron Quinn at 5 o'clock. Sal's going to have to leave me at 5 to go get ready to take part in this broadcast. Practice broadcast that he's doing with Chris Brown at this open practice at the stadium today. So anyway, Aaron Quinn from Cover One will be with me at 5. That's what we've got coming for you. Sammy P coming up right after this, along with Sal Capaccio live at Highmark Stadium. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Just recently airborne on a Friday afternoon here. I am the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio is with us from Highmark Stadium, where the Bills are having their annual evening practice at Highmark Stadium in front of their fans. So Sal is there getting ready to cover that. He'll be with us until about 5 o'clock. Joining us right now on the West Her Hotline is from, well for now, as my knowledge, is parts unknown, our buddy Sam Panionovich, Sammy P from Bet Sweats. You hear him on the Bet 1520 on weekday mornings. Here, our sister station in town. And I don't know, Sam, I got a picture from you at about 10:30 this morning from a bar. And then I saw a tweet with like what looked to be a cocktail in a golf cart. So I'm guessing you're having a day.
I've had a couple Josh Allens, so be it. The tequila transfusions. But, you know, I'm a professional Bulldog. I can still handle a little radio here. By the way, I'm very excited to talk to Sal because he's the only guy that you guys ever toss to that has one name. He's like Sting or Drake or Madonna. It's always tough. Sal's coming up today.
I love it. I love it. Sammy P, man, what's going on? Thanks a lot. I love talking to you, too. I'm here inside the radio booth at Highmark Stadium. It is the first event of the final season here in what will be, what, a 52, 53-year-old stadium, whatever the math is now. But holy cow, I mean, it is it's something special this year. And they're getting it kicked off with this open practice. And then, you know, obviously Bills fans, Sam, really hope that it ends the right way this year, which is winning an AFC championship on the road to a Super Bowl.
Well, let's talk math. I mean, you brought math up. The Bills have the highest win total in the NFL at 12.5, and they're co-favorite to win the Super Bowl. That's where you guys are at. That's sort of where Vegas is on it, at least. I mean, you look at a couple books, and they're 6-1, 6.50, 7-1. They have either the first or second highest power rating in the league, depending on who you ask. Some people say Baltimore. Others say Buffalo. I'm sorry. I don't trust the quarterback in Baltimore. And I also don't understand how they go from this run-it-down-your-throat team in the regular season to, all right, we're going to go 4 wide in the playoffs. I've never understood it. But the Buffalo Bills are co-favored to win the Super Bowl. And those are the expectations, guys.
Well, put it in the bank then.
yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I'm curious, from your perspective, obviously we know the Bills have the NFL MVP and Josh Allen. He's terrific. They have a really good roster, coaching staff, front office. But how much of that is also the division they play in and the competition and giving them an opportunity to be in position to be that team?
So I've told Mike and Bulldog this for a year now. They basically have a stranglehold, from my perspective, on the division, a lot like Brady and Belichick used to. Now, obviously, you can't compare the two teams because they're very different in many ways, but the division stinks, you know, in terms of a metric Las Vegas standpoint. And you know, that's why their win total is so high, because they should feast on the Patriots, who are rebuilding, the Dolphins, who are drowning, no pun intended, and then the Jets have Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. So it certainly plays into it. Sal, I don't know if you know, I've been tying Bills' division to basically everything that isn't nailed down.
wow, so yeah, there you go.
If they don't win this division, yeah, like I made a bet yesterday, it was Bills to win the East, and Vikings to win the NFC North. It's 5-1. I think that's a good bet, but I'm trying to parlay Buffalo AFC East with a lot of things. I'd be stunned if they didn't win this division.
Yeah. Sam, speaking of the stadium going into its final year, now, I want to get this straight. We know each other pretty well. I know you live now in Boston. Are you native to Chicago, though?
Yes.
Right. So have you gone through any, was it emotional when Comiskey Park was replaced, or was it like a godsend? Like, is there any, because Wrigley is still there, Soldier Field is still there, you're in Boston now, Fenway, obviously, you weren't there when they changed hockey rinks and the Garden went away. Have you been through, like, saying goodbye to a place that meant something to you?
When I was 5, they closed the doors on Chicago Stadium, which okay. is where the Bulls and Blackhawks, wow. you know, played forever. I was a kid, and, you know, the Bulls had Jordan, Pippen, and Horace Grant. Blackhawks had Chelios and Roenick. You know, that building went down in, I believe, 94. Don't quote me on that, but I was a kid. I was only 2 when Comiskey went down, and that new place has never been anything I've been a big fan of. But, no, Chicago Stadium, I have vivid memories of being in there. And, in fact, I was at the Scottie Pippen charity game when he kissed the court. It was like one of the last things they were ever going to do at the old stadium. And he knelt down and kissed center court. Michael was a Birmingham Baron at the time. But yeah, Chicago Stadium went down when I was 5. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, all right. That definitely works. And that time frame is probably around right. Our new build, the new building here in Buffalo for hockey and basketball, even though we don't have an NBA team, went up in 96 or opened in 96. So like that was it. Like mid 90s was when that really started happening around leagues like that. So
I'm curious, Sam. How much, when I was a kid, they would always say in home field, you give 3 points to the home team in football. Speaking of these new stadiums, a lot of these new stadiums, they don't have home field advantages. I said to Bulldog, I've been to every stadium except for 3 in the NFL. And the only reason I haven't been to those 3 was due to COVID, the year we didn't travel on the radio broadcast. And I will tell you, there is not a good home field advantage a lot of times you go to these places. It's corporate partners. It's not that loud. This is a different stadium. The way it's built, the passion of the fans. How much does truly home field matter when it comes to betting these days?
So you're right, Sal. For years, for decades, it was 3. Everybody thought it was 3. And that changed about 10 years ago. They started dropping it. And it depends on who you ask. A lot of Vegas guys will now tell you it's about 1.6 or 1.8. But, you know, it could change. It could skew. Say Seattle's at home in the snow or the Patriots are at home in the wind, or we're at Arrowhead, or we're in Buffalo. Like, those places are worth a little bit more. But you're seeing a big-time drop. And, you know, some people would say, well, from 3 to 1.6, that's not a big deal. That's, you're cutting the number in half. I mean, that's a huge deal. So, yeah, home field, for the most part, on average, is about 1.6 to the line.
Yeah, I think, you know, travel being more convenient probably has some part in that too, but the stadiums, I think, are probably, I don't know, maybe it's a, what do you think? Is it a mix of those two things, or is one a bigger influencer than the other, you think?
I think travel, to your point. I mean, these guys are flying private for the most part. They're staying in fancy hotels, and they are the most trained athletes of all time. So I think people have understood that, you know, maybe in the 1970s or 80s, yeah, home field was worth three because guys were sleeping at the Ramada Inn and taking, you know, horrible flights on AWA Airlines or whatever. But or ATA, sorry, not AWA, ATA, you're on vacation. Yeah, it's a lot of that acceleration. But, you know, there were betting groups, like Billy Walters' group forever thought that the home field was overvalued. And those guys made millions and millions of dollars taking small underdogs.
Sam Paniatovich.
By the way.
Oh, go ahead, Sal. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, by the way, I have two of those three things. I travel with the team as part of the radio crew. I am on the nice chartered plane. I am in the fancy hotel, but I do not have the same access to the training for me playing in my flag football league that these guys have, Sam. I just want you to know that.
Okay, I was concerned. Thanks for confirming that.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Well, Sam Paniatovich, co-host with Joe Ostrowski, our friend, who will be back with us during football season for a weekly visit. Sam, kind enough to do this all year round with us here. You hear Bet Sweats 9 to noon Eastern on the Bet 1520 here in Buffalo or on the Odyssey app. Sam, while we're on the NFL, I won't ask you because I know you don't have your regular database in front of you. You're busy with these Josh Allen tequila drinks that I only just found out exist today, by the way, from you. I guess I'm not doing my homework here in Buffalo. If the Cowboys' win total is being affected by Micah Parsons demanding a trade today or asking to be traded, demand might be strong. But not good news for our division winners bet with where the Cowboys were the longest shot to win the division. And now we've got more unrest with Dallas. What do you make of what's going on there?
Well, it's not good for sure. And, you know, if you go back to 2020 and look at defensive pressure rate, the Dallas Cowboys are number one in the NFL. And he's one of the biggest reasons for that, of course, Micah Parsons, who's been a star since he's been in the league. You know, I think we got a good number, though. I mean, we were betting, you know, 7-1, 6-1, and then it cratered to about 5-1, 550. But there's variable change at all times in professional sports. And, you know, that defense will look a whole lot different. And, you know, people will always try and put a number on Micah Parsons. Like, what's he worth? Well, I can tell you this. You know, in their primes, guys like Lawrence Taylor, Deion Sanders, Aaron Donald, those guys are all worth about 3 points to the line. That might not sound like a lot, but it's insanely a lot for one player to be worth that much. And, you know, Parsons is probably in that two range, maybe 2.5. So it's going to affect them if he actually does get dealt. And, you know, the problem with Dallas, anything Dallas future-wise is buckled into the fact that Philly just won the Super Bowl and Washington went to the frickin' NFC title game. So, you know, it's a tall hill to climb. The win total is either 7.5 or 8.5. If they don't have Micah, I certainly don't like our bet, Bulldog. But, you know, the thing about our bet was you were banking on health from Dak and Micah. And when those guys play, you know, 3 straight years, they go 12-5. When they don't stay on the field, they're bad. And if he's not going to be there, that changes everything. And Dallas, and oh, by the way, Matt Eberflus, as a Bears fan, Matt Eberflus stinks on defense. So he's the coordinator on that side of the field and could be really, really messy there if he's actually gone.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of any of this. What about McLaurin with Washington? Is there that's not a meter mover, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, Terry's worth about, I mean, I hate to minimize Terry's impact. He's worth about a point, maybe a point and a half, depending on who you ask. Receivers at their height are worth about two. You know, books respect Terry, but Terry's not going to affect the win total or the division or conference market. I still, though, man, I look up and I see the Commanders like 10-12-1 to win the Super Bowl, and I would never make that bet. I hate to be hyperbolic on your program, but if you gave me $100, I would never pick the Commanders 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's never happening for me.
Mm.
Go ahead. I was going to ask, what about the other conference? And we're talking about some of these needle movers, right? You have the Trey Hendricks situation going on in Cincinnati, right? And where they are right now. Isaiah Likely, I know he's not a needle mover necessarily, but he's a big part of what they do. Like, what about the other conference? Does it just really come down to Mahomes and Allen as long as they're healthy? Or, you know, how do you see some of the other teams, their big players, and what they're dealing with?
So if you're looking for a bet, I'm just trying to steer clear of the AFC sale because it's so good. I mean, I could make a case for four, maybe five teams to win it. In the NFC, though, you're going to get rewarded if you go down the board. And I'll tell you what, I think one of the biggest hires, and you know this, Sal, covering the league, you know, having two coordinators that know what they're doing is a big deal. And I look to the NFC, and, I looked at Philly last year when Bulldog and Mike and I started talking, and Philly was – 7-8-1 to win the conference. And I looked at Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio and thought, that's a good mix. Well, this year I feel that way about San Francisco. Bringing Robert Saleh back to run the defense to me is a huge deal. And yes, they may have lost some guys in name value, guys like Hufanga that have had stature in the league, but they had a good draft. I think they got younger, they got quicker, and schematically, there are not many teams, guys, in the NFC that have a Kyle Shanahan on offense and a Robert Saleh on defense. I look at that win total, 10.5. I think that's an over. The schedule is very, very soft. And also, you can bet them now. San Francisco last year to win the conference was 3-4-1. Now they're 9 or 10-1, and I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid there, but I love the price. People are selling them, and I'm kind of buying them.
Yeah, they got to be a real good choice. I don't think you can get action on this, but I know you and Joe at one point earlier this summer talked about, worst to first. That's something that happens pretty regularly in the NFL. Almost every year there's a team that does it. I'm not sure if there was one last year or not, but it happens more often than not by a lot. And the Niners were last place last year. They had an injury, just a lost season. So I'm kind of with you there. I think that they are due for a bounce back, even though they don't have Debo anymore.
Yeah, McCaffrey, you could find Christian McCaffrey, who by all accounts is very healthy. Obviously, health is more than half the battle in this league. But Christian McCaffrey, you can bet 20-1 offensive player of the year. I think that's an insanely disrespectful price.
Sam, I know from talking to you earlier in the day before the Josh Allen tequila drink started happening, you mentioned something about Joe Burrow getting some action on the MVP odds.
Yeah, he's one of the co-favorites. You look at the board for title, and we're talking about the heavy hitters, right? We're talking Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles. The Bengals are way down the board, but then you look at the MVP market, and it's, it's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Jackson. Oh, there's Joe Burrow at 6-1, 7-1. I don't know that their defense is any good, guys. I mean, they're going to have to be the first of 28 a lot of games. But what he did last year, I mean, if they were a better team, if they were better defensively, he's right there for MVP. Yeah, I mean, not to take anything away from Josh. I mean, we talked about on this show betting Josh week one, week two at 9-1, and that came through. Burrow, though, 6-1, I don't know, because they got to win 10 or 11 games, and I have a lot.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
A lot of doubts about that defense. It's very bad. And Pro Football Focus, guys, also has Cincy 31 of 32 on the offensive line. That is not good.
Yeah, you got to have some faith, maybe, if you want to back the Bengals or back Burrow for that award, that it's going to be one of these deals where the group think is just going to be wrong. Like they'll figure out Hendrickson and that the defense somehow will be better. New coordinator, whatever it is, that they will find a way to, you know, at least cobble something where they can be middle of the pack even. Because I think with that offense, with Chase and Higgins, and of course Burrow pulling the trigger there, I think if that defense is like ranked 20th, they probably are a 12-win team.
Yeah, they could be the number two or three offense in the league, and I wouldn't be surprised. They could also be the 29th best defense in the league, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Before we wrap up, there are a couple things that I wanted to touch on with you. We don't talk a ton of college football on this show, but I know you guys have been digging in somewhat here as we're ramping into August now, August 1st today, and you know, week zero is right around the corner for the college football schedule. What is there to be done right now for someone who wants to get action in on college football? Like, what are you tailing right now?
Well, if anybody listened to us a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Carson Beck to win the Heisman, 37-1 at FanDuel. That number is now about 20, 22. So kudos to you if you followed along with that. Not that that means we're going to win, but that's a good sign. I think in week one, Miami's a really good bet. You know, they were catching three. They're home against Notre Dame. It's a big game. Irish went to the title last year, title game, lost to, of course, Ohio State. But I think Ohio State kind of expose a lot of the offensive issues there at Notre Dame. And now they turn the car over to a young quarterback in CJ Carr. And I just think Miami's is just so much more equipped to handle adversity early. Miami was catching three at home. Now it's 2.5. I think that's a really good bet. And then my favorite win total, guys, this will make you laugh. I love Toledo this year. Toledo in the MAC, over 8.5. They added a running back from Ohio State and a running back from Virginia Tech in the portal. Usually the MAC gets pillaged. Toledo got better in the offseason. And I love over 8.5.
I love it.
All right, I
have to ask you about my Syracuse Orange. I have to ask my Syracuse Orange. Fran Brown, yeah, I mean, you know, we love what he's doing there, but they have a tough schedule, a lot of ranked opponents. They're starting with Tennessee and Atlanta. But, man, it looks like at least they're finally back to a team that can compete, maybe go to bowl games each year. What are we looking at?
Yeah, they should. I mean, they should win 7 or 8 games. I think that's the expectation there. I will note, though, that their best receiver, I thought last year, was Pena, and now he's at Penn State. Mm-hmm. You know, Penn State added three receivers in the portal. Penn State is favored, guys, in a lot of guys' power ratings. Like, a lot of people are telling me in Vegas that Penn State is the best team in the country. We'll see. They also have James Franklin. We'll see. But you should win 7 or 8, and they should be right there for a bowl game, no doubt.
You know we are doing a show with a guy that hosts a show called Bet Sweats when he's bringing up Toledo. I love Toledo, he's telling us here. Sam, last thing. I texted you about this yesterday. I don't know if you found any info. You said there used to be a site for it. But I was wondering, I like to build up the odds. I'm playing the lottery practically when I'm putting in bets. I don't do it every day or anything. But, you know, 4-game, 5-game parlay. And of course, the juice is always on in baseball, the team that's -1.5. And I found out that 28% of games in Major League Baseball, I don't know if this is year over year or this year, but 28% of games are one-run games. So that's a ding right there. The reason I ask is because, you know, I might just be really bad at it, but most of these parlays I put in, I don't just, it's not like, oh, if only Oakland would have covered. It's like 4 out of 5 lose. It's just like, you know, it's good, you know, the favored team, and it just does not hit. I'll bet that the books would rather we not know how rarely a team -1.5 in baseball actually covers.
So, if only Oakland covered is something we tell our priests, right, at church. Isn't that exactly what we do at church? So I did ask a couple guys about your run line question, and they said, here's what they responded with. The home run line, they said, according to the math, is one of the worst bets in the league because you lay a run and a half, but you don't get that. You're not guaranteed to get that ninth at bat, Bulldog.
Right.
And a lot of people will take that home team and lay a run and a half, and the math is not in your favor. I was told to tell you, if he's going to do the run line, do it on the road where the team is guaranteed a ninth at bat.
I like this advice a lot. I'm so glad I asked you, and you went to the well, and the well responded. This is a very good day for me. Thank you for that, Sam.
Well, imagine if I was sober, how good the tips would be.
Sam, thank you for fitting us in. We appreciate it as always. Enjoy. Where are you? Are you golfing somewhere? I saw a golf cart, I think, right?
Yeah, we're Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Beautiful. 80 degrees, no clouds.
All right, man. Enjoy it. Cheers. Enjoy the Josh Allens. Sal, do you know what the Josh Allen is? You've heard of this drink?
No, I have not. I've seen the Josh Jack cereal, right? We have that. No, what about this drink? What is this?
So, according to Instagram, and that's a very good source because it came out of his mouth, he does the transfusion, but he does it with tequila. So it's tequila, grape juice, splash of lime, splash of ginger ale. That's a Josh Allen.
Okay.
Good to know.
Kind of reminds me of the Mickey Mantle Breakfast of Champions back in the day. Go look that thing up, and that's the next thing on the menu there.
All right. Sam, thanks a lot,
Sam,
for this.
Sam, great to talk with you, buddy.
Yep.
A lot of fun, boys. Always is. See
ya. All right. Cheers, bud. That's Sam Panayotovich, Sammy P on Twitter, and, of course, co-host of Bet Sweats, 9 to noon weekdays on the Bet 1520. You can also find it on the Odyssey app. We will hit up a timeout here. Sal will continue with me for the next hour. We'll talk more about the stadium, maybe about Micah Parsons and or Terry McLaurin as we go here. Lines are open if you want to get in, share any stadium stories. We'd love to hear them here. We're just like kind of cracking the door open for that. I think this will be a subject that comes up probably pretty frequently once the season gets even closer, and maybe even during the season, depending on how the season is going. So we'd love to hear from you if you've got anything to add about the stadium and how you're feeling as we are here on the day of the first event of, or at least football event anyway, of the final year of Highmark Stadium. Sal Capaccio's there at Highmark Stadium. Mike is away today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to W.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.